I've been trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed. I've been sleeping in my bed. So show me family, all the blood that I will bleed.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where it's either going to be a storm we'll talk about for years or a complete flop according to Weather with Bobby Clubs. It's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man with me, your host, Shannon Young, back at you again on February 23rd. It's getting colder outside in downtown Cape. I'm here with my friend and cohort, Asa Gray, the Five-Star Man. Asa, good to see you.
It's getting colder, as in it's in the middle, it's like the end of February, and it's down to the mid-40s.
All right, so for our listeners out there that don't live in Cape Girardeau, because there's a couple of them, one or two, 100,000, probably not that many.
Our Canaanites.
It was so cold last week at this time that it was snowed over.
Yeah.
Snow and ice. And then it got so hot the other day.
It was 70 degrees.
It was 70 degrees. I was out there in my jacket and sweating, and now it's getting cold again. We're supposed to have a winter storm Death Star, according to Weather with Bobby Clubs.
Which, by the way,
which comes tomorrow.
That whole, it's either going to be the biggest storm in the world or nothing, is basically the equivalent of like the bad TV psychics. Like, now I'm sensing you lost someone. It was a family member. No, a friend. It was.
His name started with an H.
No.
X. Y.
No.
B.
B. Yeah. B. Bob.
Yeah. Bob. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. It's just like.
Thank God Sylvia Brown's dead.
I don't know who that one is.
She was the most famous one who did like the reading. She's the one that was on the Montel Williams show and told a family that had come on to ask about their daughter that she was dead. She just told her, I'm sorry, she went missing, she's dead. Mm-hmm. She's one of the girls they found in that guy's basement a couple years ago that escaped. Yeah.
Ooh.
The mother died in between that time. The mother died thinking that her daughter was dead because Sylvia Brown told her. Sylvia Brown was also on Coast to Coast AM, her last appearance on there with George Norrie. She was on, and it was when the Chilean miners, but it was the miners that were trapped, and they found them. They thought they were alive at first, and she said, oh, yes, I knew they were going to be alive, and then they announced that they were dead, and she switched her story live on the air. It's like, well, what I meant was they would find them, not that they would find them alive, and apparently George Norrie was so upset about it, of her being so fake, he said, never again. You're never allowed on the show again.
I want to take this time to plug a wonderful documentary that's on Netflix. It's called An Honest Liar. And it's the amazing Randy, who spent the better half, like the better part of his career and life, going around the country and debunking those kinds of frauds.
He had a personal vendetta against Sylvia Brown and offered her multiple times. They were on CNN together.
Yep.
$1 million. Come on and prove that you're psychic. Turned him down every time.
Same with and I get his name and the cosmonaut.
Yuri Geller.
Yuri Geller. Yeah. He had a huge like, and he's
been
in
spoons.
It. Yeah, it was, but that is a, it is an amazing documentary, and he just seems like such a genuinely, like, nice, he's just this sweet old man at this point.
And
but
he used to be a magician.
Yeah, he was an escape artist.
Yes, and he takes it personally. When people try to use their quote-unquote gifts to milk money out of people, or, you know, well,
and he goes on record, he's like, no, I'm an escape artist. Like, you put me in this weird situation, I can find a way out of it. There's no magic. It's not magic. It's just, I happen to know how to do this.
Right.
But he goes around and is like, oh, I can talk to your loved one. No, you can't. Here's why. He shut down briefly, like the biggest televangelist, in the country because he sent out like a private investigator and they picked up the radio waves of his wife in like a back room. Like, okay, her name is Mary Louise. She's going to be in the right side, blue dress. It is her son. He's like, now, Mary Louise. And then they would throw money at him because he was a monster.
There was, I don't know if it was a documentary or if it was just something I saw on YouTube years ago, but they had this building and they brought all these different psychics in and created this fake history for it. And then had the psychics pick up on it and tell them about, you know, the history, which was completely fake. And then there was actually two or three though that said, none of this is true. This building is nothing. But the rest went along with it. And did the whole spiel. And at the end, they were like, yeah, none of that was real. Like, you just,
you basically got punked.
You got punked by us. There's also a really, really good moment. I don't like Chris Angel per se because I love magic.
Right.
But Chris Angel is that kind of magic that's like, well, Supernatural had it best. There was an episode called Chris Angel is a Douchebag.
Yeah.
You remember that episode?
That was a good episode.
It was a good episode. But he, when he was on that psychic or that America, I don't remember the name.
America's Got Talent.
It wasn't that. It was more built for like magicians and stuff.
Was it Penn and Teller's thing?
No, no, it wasn't them. This was hosted on NBC. But there was a guy on there who claimed to be psychic, and he said that one of his tricks was that he went out and talked to audience members about their family and stuff. He was doing the hot and cold readings and that stuff. And Chris Angel, he had an envelope, and I may have told you this story before, but he had an envelope and he told, the guy, he said, if you can tell me what's in this envelope, I will personally give you $1 million. And they got in this huge fight over it. Like, Chris Angel hated this guy for it. And at the end of the show, he finally opens up the letter to show what was in it. It said 9/11. He said, if there were really psychics out there, then this never would have happened.
Right.
You know? I'm someone that believes in the paranormal, obviously. You know that about me.
Right.
And I don't really believe in psychics. I believe in a lot of things. But psychics, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, I am not a very... Like, I'm interested in learning about it and those kind of things, but I'm not a believer, and psychics fall just real squarely into that.
That's because there are levels of the paranormal that are believable and levels that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
A ghost is believable because you can – maybe science will someday pick up on the fact that our thoughts, our essence can be left behind when we die and can manifest in, you know, apparitions or what have you. But a psychic, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So – yeah. How did we get on that topic? Because that was great.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
A psychic planted it in my brain.
Ethan.
We were talking.
Ethan's watching One Piece, which is ironic because J.R. Davis, shout out to J.R. Davis. It's our first shout out to J.R. He posted that when you said we are and I said we are, he posted the One Piece theme song, which is apparently We Are.
And I've never actually seen any of One Piece, so...
I don't know anything about it, except I don't like it.
I don't get it.
Yeah. They stand for everything I... They stand against everything I stand for, somehow. Let's start this off with some old-fashioned comments from the Facebooks. Mike Branham wants to know, will you read this question on the air? No, I won't. Aaron Picard, do you get the joke? You got it?
I do.
Okay. Aaron Picard, my old friend, probably the best person for this podcast... Every podcast, when we say, hey, give us some questions, he's got them. He said, if you could create the greatest rock opera / concept album ever, what would it be about? And did you know that 10 minutes a day equals 10 books a year?
Not for me, because I am a real slow reader.
I am an exceptionally slow reader.
It takes me like an hour to get through 20 pages.
It takes me a day to get through a comic.
Like I read...
That's not true.
I read the third... The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo book.
Isn't that the girl that kicked the hornet's nest?
Yes.
Yes.
The third one / the final one, depending on who you believe. I burned through that book in like 2 days. And when I say burned through in like the last 110 pages, like I just could not put it down. It ate up almost an entirety of 2 days for me, but.
CJ reads all the time. He comes in here and. Reads.
What if he actually reads at home, or if he only does it in public?
Or sleeps at home. You know? I cannot tell you the last book that I read.
I started Mr. Mercedes, but I'm about halfway through it, and I just... Not gave up on it or anything, I just like have lost time to be able to.
If you count Urban Dictionary's book, I read that. Lindsay got me that for Christmas. That's it. That's it. I can't remember the last book I read. I don't like to read. I like to read, but I don't like to read. I don't like to read books.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read real things. Like, I love researching. I know I hate bringing the paranormal into so much of this, but I love researching UFO cases and reading about cases of that. I love reading about haunted places. I love reading about history, but I don't like reading fiction generally. And I don't know why. It just fiction books have never caught my attention as much as movies. I love cinema. I love seeing these things up on the big silver screen. I love the feel of it, the popcorn, the soda. Like, I've always loved movies and movie theaters. Books don't have the same pull for me. It's some people love sitting down, grabbing a nice glass of something and reading.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been that person. You know?
I'm trying to think of the last book that I read. And
I know it was probably H.P. Lovecraft. I have an H.P. Lovecraft collection, and I was reading through that.
I did read a number of those on Halloween. Because that was my little tradition there for a couple years. And I know I very recently read Devil in the White City. which they are making a movie about, which I'm really excited about because it's Martin Scorsese, and Leo DiCaprio.
You got it.
I got there.
You got there.
But I know I've read more than that, even recently. I really like the Jim Butcher, Dresden Files. It's a really good series.
I've never read the Dresden Files, but I am aware of them.
And then there was the Legend of Drizzt, D-R-Z-Z-T is his name.
Is that Salvatore?
Yeah, R.A. Salvatore.
Okay. The reason I know R.A. Salvatore was my ex-girlfriend, Vina. She was the smartest person I know. She's still the smartest person I know. She was brilliant. And she was that kind of girl that she never played video games. She didn't know how to play a video game. We played one of those. I probably told you this story. We played one of those arcade cabinets where you have the light gun and you shoot the enemies.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried to play that with her. And I handed her the gun. And I realized I was the only one shooting. I looked back. She looked like she was about to cry. And she's got the gun pointing straight up. And she's bouncing up and down because she doesn't know what to do. And she just hands me the gun and says, protect me. So then I'm just double gunning. And it was pretty cool. But when I walked into her room, there was nothing but R.A. Salvatore books. Mm-hmm. She had tons of them. It was very odd to me that this girl had all of those.
It amazes me how some people like him, and I'm completely blanking on, like Stephen King, it seems like they do nothing but lock themselves in a room.
And write and constantly.
Just write, and that's all they have time for, because not only the number of books that they put out, but the length of them.
Yeah.
And maybe I know I'm a slow reader. I know there are some people who can knock out 100 pages in a sitting. But
you are not one of those people, is what you're telling me.
And these books are like 200-400 pages long each. Yeah. Like, and if it takes me that long to read them, how long could it take to write it? It's like that Futurama episode where he's trying to redo the last episode.
It took 10 minutes to write.
It took me 30 minutes to write it. I thought it'd take 30 minutes to read it.
As a writer, a former writer, I can tell you that it takes forever to write. I've sat down and wrote, especially when I used to write. I used to do fan fiction a lot. That's how I started in writing, honestly, mm-hmm. as a lot of us did. And I would write these fan fictions, and I would write for 2-3 hours. And I go, whew, I mean, I knocked out 4 pages today.
Right.
Good for me. It was ridiculous. That's why I like doing podcasts. Because, you know, I did write for Blogzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take me 2-3 hours to write an article for Blogzilla and be happy with it.
Right.
Whereas the podcast, we come on, we record for an hour, it's done. Edit it a little bit, post it, people can listen to it and enjoy it.
And it's so easy to just, especially like doing shows like this or, you know, the Tanner Thursday with the Four, like it's so much easier to just bounce things back and forth off of the other people instead of
sometimes.
It only being you.
Then there was the time I interviewed Zach. Great guy. I love Zach Kurgis to death, but he was not forthcoming with answers a lot of the times. And, you know, I'm just looking around like, help. It's like that Simpsons episode where Bart tries to imagine an Itchy and Scratchy episode, and they just stare at him and shrug. Oh, shit, we never answered Aaron's question. Oh, I didn't mean to cuss. I tried so hard. I'm trying so hard not to cuss anymore.
Really?
I really am, because...
I'll try.
Well, you don't have to. It's just curse words, as much as we cuss, it kind of takes the meaning from them. It takes the power. I don't want to be that guy that just says the F word every 5 seconds on the air, and that's why he thinks he's funny. I'd rather be actually witty than Dalton Manchett, you know?
But best rock opera, what would it be about?
For a rock opera / concept album, well, they already did one about Jesus.
They did one about pro wrestling. I think it was the Mountain Goats. That can't be right.
I think they did one, Cradle of Filth did one about Joan of Arc and Giles, I always mispronounce his name, Giles de Reyes.
I thought you were going to say Joan of Arc and Jaws.
Yeah, they did it.
Like the shark.
It's the greatest crossover ever. Rock opera concept album.
I feel like it would have to be like an original idea, and I don't have those.
I always kicked around an idea of a story about... Oh, God, no, it's going to take way too long to describe it. But basically, it's about a post-apocalyptic Earth that doesn't know it's Earth because they destroyed all of their history, so they would never repeat the mistakes of the past. This has already been done, hasn't it? You're staring at me like it's been done.
I thought you were setting up a Planet of the Apes joke.
No, I'm serious. Ever since I was right out of high school, I had the idea for this story, and it's evolved for so long. Like, I know the story in my head. I could tell you every single thing about it,
mm-hmm.
but I never wrote it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with writing. I was talking to, I don't know if I was talking to Lindsay or Allie about this the other day, I think it was Allie, that I feel like print is dead, like Egon said in Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to write and capture people's attention now. You really have to have something that, like, sets it on fire. For every Hunger Games or Divergent, is it Divergent? Is mm-hmm. that the series what it's called? For every one of those, there are thousands of books that never get the attention they deserve.
Right.
And it's hard to be a writer. I think it's harder to be a writer than it is to be anything, because people don't like to read, generally. Like, you really have to capture people's attention when you write. You can make a bad movie, and people will go see the bad movie just because they can sit there and guffaw at it. Mm-hmm. But to write something and get people to actually care about it is very difficult, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, Aaron, I would write it about gaming grounds.
Here at 709 Broadway for all your gaming needs.
That would make a good show. It's like, imagine Clerks, but as a concept album.
It's if we sang.
Yeah. Well, I have the voice of an angel.
I do not.
So... me. Yeah, see, something like that. Okay.
Speaking of voice of an angel, Ninja Sex Party have a cover album coming out, which I'm super excited about because they just released the first single. Take on Me, and it's legit. It's really good. It's not, you know, the campy, like, their original stuff is insanity.
Yeah.
But and Danny has just a great voice.
Danny Sexbang, who I did not know who that was, and I remember Steven being so excited about it when he met him.
Oh, I'm still so jealous.
And remember we had that big argument of whether YouTube celebrities were celebrities?
Yes.
And I've come around
yes.
to the power of YouTube.
Right.
I feel so bad that I didn't know he was talking about. But he mm-hmm. does it to me, too. Like I said the other day, all right, true story. I tweeted Mitch Pileggi. And he replied. And I was so excited about it. And I told everybody, I was like, oh, my God, I actually talked to Mitch Pileggi. And they just, mm-hmm. Do you know who that is? Yeah. From the X-Files? Is he the Mulder? He's not Mulder. No. Unfortunately. I did also tweet David Duchovny. He did not reply. Let's just put it that way. Aaron Picard, this is the one I really wanted to answer from Aaron. He said, what are your favorite songs on Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack and other favorite soundtracks? Oh, I wanted to answer this question so bad. The first part of the question for me, nearly every song yeah. on the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack.
It really doesn't have a bad song.
But if I had to pick, Big Rock Candy Mountain, I love.
It's a great song.
I don't remember the name of it. Went Down to the River to Pray, I think is what it's called. It's Alison Krauss. That's my absolute favorite song on the album.
I don't know.
That song did more for me and my belief in God than all of the people before now that tried to teach me about religion. Mm-hmm. Like, they would say, God is great, you need to, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I heard that song, and I was ready to go down to the river to pray. It's a good song.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's the scene where they find the women doing laundry in the river.
Oh, the go to sleep, yeah. little baby.
I think that's probably my favorite.
That's a creepy song, too. It's very trance-like,
yeah,
you know?
I think that's part of why I really liked it.
The song where the African-American gentleman, I don't remember his name in the movie, mm-hmm. but he's a legit blues singer.
Right.
In real life. And he has a song where they're all sitting by the fire, and he's just playing the guitar and doing acoustic thing. That's a really good song, too.
Yeah.
But that album is just great.
I'm going to go watch that again.
I don't have it.
Really?
I do not have that movie, and I want that movie. That's like one of my favorite movies. I don't know how I don't have it. Well, my birthday is in August, guys. August 3rd. Other favorite soundtracks? I've got a couple.
The one that immediately springs to mind is Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
That was a great
fantastic.
Soundtrack.
Fantastic, yeah. Ghostbusters, yeah. 1 and 2. Aside from the Ray Parker song, there's also Mick Smiley's on it. Part 2 has Run DMC. It has, what was Bobby Brown's group? New Edition?
I think
what it was? I'm old. Sorry.
No, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I just don't know. I can't remember the name of it.
I think it's New Edition. Quote me if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But also, any of the Marvel movies from the late 90s to early 2000s, Daredevil, Punisher,
yeah.
Elektra. Those had great... I mean, I know they're just modern rock and stuff, but they're really good. I mean, Daredevil pretty much made Evanescence.
Yeah.
That movie made Evanescence a household name.
It's not a movie, but I've been watching Mr. Robot.
I haven't seen it yet.
That show...
I've heard it's good. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. But that show's soundtrack is amazing.
I can listen to Phantom of the Opera soundtrack over and over again.
And I can think of shows more than I can think of movies that had really great soundtracks, because House had a really good Like, I think when you condense it, like, from how, you know, however many seasons it ran.
Yeah.
Down to, you know, the actual, like, released soundtrack. Like, I can go back and think, oh, that was a really good song. That was a really good song. Scrubs was another one.
Scrubs had a fantastic soundtrack.
I think it was because Zach Braff actually had a pretty significant pick in, like, that's why Carrie Brothers was in it. The Shins. But that's, they used those songs so effectively.
Yeah.
Because Scrubs is one of my favorite shows of all time because of how it went. It was so easy for it to transition to it being absolutely hilarious to just like heartbreaking and sad.
Yeah.
And the music, and they always picked just the best music with it.
One of the first episodes I saw of Scrubs, because Bob watches it a lot, was the episode where Brendan Fraser.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, I don't even have to say it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that broke me immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, what a set. And there was another episode where, and maybe I'm getting it wrong, but I think it's right, where there was an older woman who passed away, and they played How to Save a Life.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That was heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
I can't remember the song now, but it's one of the earlier seasons, and it's him going through, like, it's this woman that who has been in and out of the hospital quite a bit. They know her.
Nancy Sullivan, I think, played the character. Like, because she's been in and out. I just watched this episode.
She's a younger woman, though. She's not an old lady.
Right,
she's like a middle-aged woman.
And at the end, she's leaving, like, and they realize.
He's like, what do you think heaven is like? And it's like, oh, what do you think death is like? And it's like, oh, I think it's like this big song and dance number. And then it's her standing by the bed in this like beautiful red dress. And it is, I don't know if it's a Men at Work song or if it's the singer from Men at Work, Colin something. But it's one of his songs that they cover. And it's different people in the hospital are actually like going around and singing it. And it's just a really good song. And it's a really sad moment. And
most of also The Simpsons. A lot of people don't give The Simpsons credit for their music because they do great musicals. Like, they have lots of songs in the show that are specifically written for the show. I have the Memories in the Key of V album, which is one of my favorite albums, but they also use songs really well in that show, different parts with different music. That's another one that used their soundtrack well.
Waiting for My Real Life to Begin. That's the song by the episode was My Philosophy.
Can we not talk about Scrubs anymore? That is a sad show.
But it's a hilarious show.
It was
too.
A great show until the end, until the last season.
I don't count the last season.
Good. Not many.
That was a different show.
Yeah. Moving on from this, even though I'd love to talk more about soundtracks, because there's so many other soundtracks that are going to pop in my head as we do this. Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills Cop 3. I'm sorry. Beverly Hills Cop 3. Yeah. Terrence Trent D'Arby was on the soundtrack. Tony. Eazy-E. Chanel Moore, I think was her name. The Supremes. I mean, it was such a good soundtrack and a good movie, too.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, my God.
I said Marvel movies in general.
Yeah.
Most.
But that one was Awesome Mix, Volume 1.
All right, let's move on from this. Jesse Kimmel wants to know, how long before the five-star man is a better Call of Duty player than Mr. 100? Never.
No, yeah, absolutely.
You agree on that?
Oh, 100.
Okay, cool.
The only reason he's asking that is because I sent him a picture. I had a really good round where I ended up getting foursies. Because basically it was beautiful.
Are you like a 4.0?
No, a quadruple kill.
Oh, gotcha.
Basically, they all were running single file through a doorway to get at me and just like, nope. One magazine worth. And it was, I was like, oh, this is embarrassing for everyone involved except for me.
Like the part in Deadpool where he shoots the three guys with one bullet.
Yeah.
I don't think that's realistic.
Wait, what?
That part of Deadpool is not realistic.
I mean, why would they just lie?
It's a Marvel film. Sometimes these things you have to take out of, you have to suspend belief.
Whatever.
Moving on. Serious question. Would either of you let refugees live in your home? Why or why not? Now, this is going to tie into something we're going to talk about in a few minutes down in Texas.
Don't mess with them.
None but steers and queers down there, from what I understand. Oh, there went that. There went my facade.
His movie.
So, would you let a refugee live with you?
Probably.
I wouldn't. My apartment's so tiny.
Well, see, is
she attractive? Is this an attractive Syrian refugee?
It's one of those things where it's like, I know I would like to say yes, absolutely. But then it's when I look at, it's like I live in a 2-bedroom house with another person. Like there's.
Like it wouldn't work. If I had the means to do it, I would.
Yeah.
If I had a big house and I had a room that I could spare to somebody.
Right.
I probably would. It's easy for me to say that
yeah.
and not be in that situation, but I'd like to think that I would.
Yeah.
But I don't know, is a more honest answer.
Yeah.
I'm not paranoid, for one. Let me just say that.
No, yeah. I'm
here in Cape Girardeau, we see people of all races around here because it's a college town. You know, yeah. You have SEMO here. Mm-hmm. I see Chinese people, Asian or Japanese people, Arabic people, and I've never been afraid of any of them.
No.
You know? The only time I was afraid was when I had Arabic people living downstairs and to the right of me, but I wasn't afraid of them. I was afraid I was going to kill them because they played their music so loud. And it was the strangest music, too, because I guess they had their bass turned up all the way without really caring what the song was. Mm-hmm. So one night, about 4 a.m, as my wall is thumping, I go down there in shorts and a wife beater. And if you know Mr. 100 in person, you know Mr. 100.
It's an intimidating sight.
It's an intimidating sight. I basically kick their door in, and it's Vanessa Carlton with the bass turned up all the way. I think it was 1,000 miles with the bass turned up all the way. And I thought, I almost laughed.
They just wanted you to think they were cool.
And that is cool, but not at 4 a.m. Jesse, we're going to talk more about that here in a minute, but we're going to move on to some more questions. Brett DeVault. First time questioner, Brett DeVault. Will Pokken be as good as it looks? You know what Pokken is?
Pokken, yeah,
the Pokemon Tekken game?
Yep.
If it's made by the guys that make Tekken, I think it will be, because Tekken's a good series, and I'm interested to play it. I think it'll be shallow. Will it be as shallow as Street Fighter V? I don't think a puddle of water is as shallow as Street Fighter V.
Already out of that honeymoon phase?
Oh, no, I love the game. Me and Terrence were playing it today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's shallow. It's shallower than Dalton Manch. It's bad.
It's, I mean, I haven't played it yet. You brought it when we were watching Fastlane, but.
We should play it now, don't you? Instead of watching Fastlane.
But it's one of those things. Is it shallow because the gameplay is shallow? Or is it shallow just because of all the street features that are just not in it?
I think it'll be shallow, or Street Fighter, you mean?
Yeah.
Features. Like, the gameplay's solid. It's still Street Fighter.
Right.
But the lack of characters, the lack of modes, the lack of content versus a game like Mortal Kombat, which was just, even right out of the box, you had the towers, you had the online mode, you had a great story mode. Mortal Kombat really set the bar.
I think it was like 18 characters out of the box, too.
Yeah, as opposed to Street Fighter 16, I think. Or maybe it's 12 plus more coming. I forget how it is. I only play as 3 characters. Mm-hmm. I play as Cammy, Ken, and Vega. So there might as well not even be other characters. But I think it's going to be good, Brett. You'll know because we'll play it at Gaming Grounds, I'm sure.
I'm just still bitter that they're pumping out all these, you know, weird knockoff Pokemon games, and they just won't give us the Wii U RPG that people have been demanding for 20 years now.
Now, are you talking about a legit Pokemon game?
Yeah.
Or like something like Veil of Darkness?
Like an actual Pokemon game. Or even something like a full-length Veil of Darkness. See,
I've always heard the excuse, the reasoning behind that is that they want to have something that you can take on the go so you can play it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that on a console. But I think now that we have
3DS being able to sync up with the Wii U or seamlessly.
Or just the fact that Nintendo is embracing online capabilities more.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a Pokemon game, like a Pokemon MMO. You could do a Pokemon MMO on the Wii U. Walk around, meet people, talk to them. You could have that social interaction without ever leaving your house. Let Pokemon Go do the rest of it.
Yeah,
if you want to go down into the ghetto to get that shiny Charizard, more power to
you. It's in Cape Girardeau. It's probably going to be like a level 8 Rattata.
I got so many Rattatas. I'm tripping on Rattatas.
Joey.
Mike Branham, if the Podzilla crew had a ladder match, who would win? Same question with the Royal Rumble. I think in a ladder match of the entire Podzilla crew, like everybody involved.
You or Tanner. It's you or Tanner, no matter which match it is.
Tanner, because I am afraid of heights. I will not climb the ladder. The Royal Rumble, maybe. I might be able to put someone on my shoulders and she can grab the title for me. Wink, wink. But I will not climb the ladder myself.
No, yeah. It's you or Tanner. I mean,
I'll definitely win the Rumble. Unless you guys like team up to throw me out Big Show style.
Well, see, and that's the thing is this is like me and Dalton and Steven and Ethan, like, we have no chance. Look at us. We'd have to like be the first 4 entrants and agree ahead of time that anytime like you or Jesse or Cody or Tanner come in, like, okay, just work on tossing them because we're not going to be able to do it by ourselves.
God forbid 2 of us come in a row.
Yeah. It's. You'd just be like Kane and Big Show at last year's Rumble, just like picking them up and dropping them out.
Aw, that's cold.
Just picking them up and nope, we're going to gently place you outside. Good try, little buddy.
I don't think anyone would argue with that logic. I think that's a sound logic. I mean, the only wild card might be CJ because he might not feel pain. So he could take a beating.
He just could fall asleep halfway to the ring.
God.
You're disqualified if the next entrant comes in and gets into the ring before you
well,
do.
Well, no, he would just stay outside the ring the whole time asleep. He'd wake up at the end, toss the last person out. He could win that way. Anybody but you, Asa.
Anybody, yeah, that's, I mean, you're not wrong.
Are you
calling me Roman Reigns? Oh.
No, I'm Roman Reigns. You're Dean Ambrose.
You're not Roman Reigns.
Yeah, because Dalton is Seth Rollins. I'll take Dean Ambrose. Just because of the hair. Well, he doesn't even have the hair anymore.
Oh.
Dalton is Roman Reigns because nobody wants to see him succeed.
But he keeps showing up.
I'll be Dean. No, I'll be Seth. I'll be Seth because I'm the golden boy.
It's true.
How do you like me now? Jack McNeil wants to know, God damn it. When is this program going to get Double Hill back on the roster and become good again? He had a follow-up question. Of course, my phone didn't like my use of H and made it Hill. I obviously meant Hunter Hendricks. When is Hunter Hendricks going to be on the show again? He's not. Let's just nip that in the bud right now. I promised Asa I wouldn't get angry about this, but I am going to talk about it for a second. I'm sorry, Asa. I'm not going to get too in-depth on it. Let's just say Hunter is good friends with everyone at this table but me. And since I host the show, he's probably not going to come anytime soon. Now, he did do an intro for us on the 200th episode because Hunter still loves the people on this podcast and this podcast, but he will not be appearing anytime soon. That is the short answer to that, and that's where we'll leave it. I'm saying that because I get asked all the time, when's Double H coming back? He's not, guys. He's gone. Mom left. Moving on. Was that too much?
No, that was. I think that was concise. And
okay. Mike Branham says, pick a weapon, vehicle, and psychic to bring with you in battle, real or fictional. I'm going to pick help.
Okay, so... The reason I hate these kind of hypothetical questions is because there is the answer that you would actually give. Like, there's the answer you want to give, and then there's the correct answer.
Yeah.
It's like, who's the best superhero? You want to say it's Batman, or you want to say it's Punisher, but it's Superman. Superman is just...
That's true.
He has all the cool powers. Right. Like, so
it's like, pick a weapon, vehicle, and sidekick.
If I pick a vehicle, it's going to be like Carl Sagan's Spaceship of the Imagination, because it can just do whatever.
I was going to say, like, a dragon... Would a dragon count? That's a vehicle.
My sidekick is the Hulk because nothing beats the Hulk.
My sidekick is Jesus. He has amazing healing
Jesus
powers.
Jesus is the co-pilot. Switch seats. Saw that today.
Pick a weapon.
Pick a weapon. Like, and then... I don't know.
I would pick...
That one's the...
Was his name Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
I'd pick his little bolt. That can just tear through everybody in a split second.
That was such a good part of the movie.
Except for that one time you can't whistle.
Right.
You're like, let's do this.
They slap the duct tape over your mouth. Oh no, I'm in the middle of eating crackers. I got jumped.
Where did I get these intergalactic crackers from?
No, but so like my actual, like my fun answer, I think would be my vehicle is of course going to be the Batmobile. My sidekick, I'm going to cheat and say all of the Ninja Turtles.
They count as one?
Come at me.
Okay.
And then weapon.
All right, I will fight you. My vehicle will be the Ecto-1, just because.
All right, no weapons on it, so.
Yeah. My sidekicks are all four Ghostbusters. So it's my Ghostbusters versus your Ninja Turtles.
I would watch that movie.
I would too. Who would win between four highly trained combat turtles?
And nerds.
And nerds with nuclear reactors strapped to their back.
Wow, I don't know what I would want my weapon to be.
I have to know what your weapon is so I can get something to complement it.
Something better. I know it's not the best one, but like anytime all of my favorite like video game characters, like I've always loved the Bo Staff.
The Bo Staff, like Donatello?
Yeah. Like, and I think that's probably why, is because I've always loved Donatello, like, ever since I was a kid.
Good pick. Lightsaber.
Yeah, that's...
Bye, Bo Staff.
That's the one where it's like, that's the correct answer.
Yeah. I can't think of a single melee weapon that would be better than the lightsaber. And the first goddamn nerd out there that says vibroblade, or I swear to Christ, if you say a sonic screwdriver, I'm going to take that sonic screwdriver and shove it up your ass.
Okay, legit nerd question that I kind of want Jesse to follow up on. Could a lightsaber cut through Wolverine's adamantium bones?
I want to say yes, because can a lightsaber cut through anything?
I don't know. Can it?
Why would Jesse Kimball be the one to talk to about this? Just because of the Wolverine question?
Because of the...
I would like to ask a medical doctor.
Well, they would look at you and be like, what the fuck is adamantium?
Also, what is a lightsaber? Yeah,
because they were too busy studying.
They're too busy making a lot of money and saving real lives.
Yeah.
All right, so let's recap. This is going to be the main event. It's Asa Gray in the Batmobile with the Ninja Turtles and his bo staff versus Shannon Young riding in the Ecto-1 with the Ghostbusters and his lightsaber. Who you got on that?
Me.
Ethan, who you got? Ethan shaking his head. Never mind. Ah, horror. Yeah. He's touching me on the back. I don't like it. I'm looking for the one story that I actually wanted to talk to you about. I can't find it now.
Was that the last question?
Yeah. Okay. That was the last question. And now I'm trying to find this article. I came across this headline. I had to click the story because I didn't believe it, but apparently it's true. It's from Egypt. Officials claim mistaken identity after toddler sentenced to life in prison. They sentenced a 3-year-old Egyptian boy to life in prison because they got his name mixed up. Thankfully, they said they're not going to send him to prison.
Well, that's good because he's innocent.
I mean, there's a mistaken identity, and then there's that.
Yeah.
Say what you will about the American judicial system, but I don't think we've ever sent a toddler to prison.
It's like the 30 Rock episode where he gets the Jack glaze on the side so the alcohol doesn't cook out. And he's like, wait, if he gets the sauce on the side, does that mean the alcohol is still in it? That would explain why we have so many drunk toddlers running around.
I just pretty much...
lost everything?
No, I Google searched this thing.
No.
And don't you hate when you're trying to scroll and you hit a wrong button and all of a sudden you scrolled with the button held down and now...
It just takes you everywhere.
No, everything's zoomed up.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
So now I have this giant screen.
Hey.
Basically, all right, I can't find it. I'm sorry, guys. If you've turned into Podzilla 1985's Mr. 100 show to get CNN-style news, you're gravely mistaken.
Tonight was not the night.
Tonight's not the night for that. But there is a group in Texas that is going to protest refugees coming to Texas, Syrian refugees, and they're going there armed because of reasons, because they want to make America great again. So we're going to scare away refugees with guns at this peaceful protest down in Texas.
And I'm willing to bet that half of them posted on Facebook that hashtag all lives matter.
I saw when I found it on Facebook, the responses to it, whereas some people were like, why is it that the people say they're most patriotic make me the most ashamed to be American? Since when is bigotry making America great again? All the way to, thank God we have people standing up to these cowards who want to let these terrorists in here, these child rapists and stuff like that. And like, holy shit. I can't believe that people are so divided on this. Like, basic human needs seems to be something I would get behind generally.
Yeah, it's disgusting, and those people should be ashamed of themselves.
The fact that they're armed, though, is what bugs me the most. Yeah.
To me, that's terrifying.
Imagine you're
Syrian. That's going to end up with someone, like some psychopath, is going to use that as an excuse to shoot a bunch of people.
Yeah,
and they'll be surprised when.
Or I don't want to make it sound like we bring these things on ourselves, because clearly nobody deserves to die in any situation, even the people I don't like. They don't deserve to die. They're idiots, but no one should kill them. The only person that should be killed right now is Donald Trump to save the future of mankind. Anyway, some crazy extremist will see something like this and then maybe show up and start a gunfight. You never know what's going to happen. You remember the Muhammad drawing that they did, the contest that, that drew the two.
The Charlie Hebdo?
No. Before that, it was months back where they, it was down in Texas, believe it or not. They had a Draw the Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest, and two terrorists, quote unquote, showed up armed, ready to attack it. And they shot them and killed them before they could do anything. But the fact that they, and they used that as an excuse and said, well, look at these terrorists coming to destroy our right to express ourselves, what freedom
they,
of speech.
What if they just wanted to go and protest and be armed? Is that okay?
That's a good question. So what if the other side decided to execute their right to bear arms and they showed up with guns? America, would you feel safe if Muslim people started carrying guns around legally? How would you feel about that? You know, so many people keep talking about let's arm ourselves, and they got these people coming in, and they feel so patriotic walking around with their assault rifles. Well, how would you feel if Muhammad Hassan, that's the first name I could think of, walks up with an AK-47 and says, how you doing?
Right. Yeah. No, it's because a lot of the people who are really all, oh, yeah, no, it's our right to bear arms, blah, blah, hoorah, forget that, oh, there's people that aren't just white that are American citizens and have the same rights that I do. Whoops.
Did you ever see the video of... It was a experiment. They had a white guy and a black guy walking down the street, both of them carrying the same assault rifle, both legally carrying the same assault rifle. And the white person got stopped and asked, do you have a permit? The black person got arrested. The black person got put on the ground and handcuffed before they finally sorted it all out. So, yeah, white people love when white people carry guns.
Right.
But they don't like it when other races carry guns because then they get nervous.
Then
they need more guns.
Well, those people are dangerous, though.
Clearly. They are clearly a terrorist descent.
Name one time a white person with a gun has caused any trouble at all.
The only time I can think of was...
The Spanish Inquisition.
The Spanish Inquisition. When we had assault rifles and we shot at the conquistadors.
Yep. The Spaniards baned the Aztecs, turned them into Mexicans. I don't know why. That just popped into my head.
Oh, no. Seriously, though.
Yeah.
JFK assassination. Only time. But Lee Harvey Oswald.
But was that so bad? I don't know.
Oh, anymore. My God. You don't attack JFK.
Too soon.
He's a national treasure. He banged Marilyn Monroe.
Who didn't?
That's cold.
I don't know.
You know what that reminds me of? The X-Files.
The Lone Gunman?
No. We were talking about Muslims.
Was that a JFK thing? The Lone Gunman?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were named after the report that said that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman.
Yeah. Okay.
They were in the second to last episode of the new X-Files series.
Mm-hmm.
And did you watch? I know you're not a big X-Files fan, are you?
Well, okay. And if I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit, but I feel like it's going to be a different show.
We'll talk about it now.
Well, it's
that whole Texas thing's just going to boil our blood.
Yeah, that's true. That really does.
I'm glad
really
I couldn't find the article because if I told you some of the stuff I read, you would be.
That really does upset me that people can be so bigoted and close-minded and just ignorant.
Yeah.
But so one of the things about the X-Files is I missed it when it was in its prime. Like when I was growing up, I guarantee you I would have loved the X-Files, but I never saw it.
Mm.
And same thing with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Never saw Buffy, but I feel like it's something that I really would have been into.
Yeah.
But now in 2016, going back and rewatching it, at the time those special effects were great. Like they were cutting edge, ahead of the time, like right there. Whereas 2016 special effects, it looks cheesy and terrible. Yeah. And so it's hard for me now, especially after having seen all of the things that were influenced by those shows, to go back and watch the source material and be like, ugh.
This is rough.
Yeah, this is rough to sit through. So I feel like if I really gave it a shot and stuck with it, I would get into it. And I'm glad that they brought it back, that people like you who were lifetime fans, huge fans, can appreciate it. And they seem to be doing a really good job with it. It's not like, oh, X-Files is stupid because I never saw it and got into it. It's just like I kind of feel like I'm missing out on something just because. And now it's hard to go back and rewatch it.
CJ messaged me. He started watching the X-Files, I guess, because I've been talking about it so much. And he messaged me the other night and just said, why did you never tell me how good the X-Files was? And I just replied, I thought you knew. I thought everybody knew. The newest X-Files episodes are really good and very – the special effects have gotten a lot better.
Well, yeah, because they're making it in 2015, 2016.
But I still like it when they do practical effects versus CG. Like, they still have the UFOs and stuff, but in the, one of the episodes, there's a guy that's just ripping people apart, mm-hmm. and you just see him, like, silhouetted, and you just see arms ripping off and stuff, and I'm surprised they got away with as much as they did. And that actually reminds me of what I wanted to talk about. In the second to last episode, I don't remember what the episode was called, but it starts off with an Arabic guy, a Muslim man, praying, and then going and meeting a friend, and then they walk into this restaurant, and the restaurant explodes. They're suicide bombers. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, it's amazing to me that in a show that talks about government conspiracies and how we're working against our own people, that this is kind of made me uncomfortable. Like, that they would go there. Mm-hmm. That they would go... Is it lazy writing?
Well, so was it actually they were the ones that were the bombers?
They were.
Okay. And then was it like a false flag? Like, oh, shame on you. You assumed it was them when actually it was this guy.
So that's what I thought it was going to be. It was going to be one of those, this is teaching a lesson about
your own bigotry. And yeah.
Yeah. And in the show, they do meet a couple of people that are just flat out racist. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about those people, quote unquote. And it does make you feel bad. But at the same time, no, they totally blew up that building.
Right.
You know. But I don't know. I just thought that was, for a show that deals with aliens and stuff like that, that seems like lazy writing to go to something. So it reminds me of something Vince McMahon would do. Like, let's just take something that's in the news. Or Speed Weed from Law & Order. That's mm-hmm. his name, by the way.
What?
His name is Speed Weed. I'm not making this up.
All right.
But take something from the headlines, and it's just lazy to me. Mm-hmm. You know? Not very creative. Am I wrong?
I mean, I don't know. I'd have to see the episode, really, to really kind of be able to tell what kind of context or what kind of story it was telling. Like, if it was just a black and white, oh, look, terrorists did a bad thing.
It was.
And there was no, like...
No, the whole point of the episode was that they blew up the thing. Mulder got involved because there was a video of people heard trumpets, and it was supposed to be like a Revelations type thing, like they heard the trumpets. There was no source for it, but they heard mm-hmm. the music and then the angels blaring the trumpets. But then it turns out to be they're just stopping a Muslim sleeper cell from blowing up more places. And at the end, they stop them. So it is happening, but it seems to me that this is almost inciting.
I don't know
the kind of bigotry we're talking about hating right now.
I feel like it's probably less lazy writing. To me, that feels like it would be harder for the X-Files to do, to where almost make it almost like a straight cops and robbers type story. Like, yeah. I know that's not what it is, but like, versus something supernatural or paranormal.
Yeah.
Well, so like those episodes, like the episodes of Supernatural, where like the handful of times they've gone to investigate these weird killings or whatever, and it turns out, oh no, it's just people.
It's just some guy. It's some crazy guy.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I wouldn't say it's lazy as much as maybe in poor taste.
Yeah.
But again, that's from someone who hasn't seen the episode or really.
Well, they wrapped up the show. Episode 6 aired last night. I watched it this morning on Hulu. And spoiler alert, if you've been watching the new series and you haven't seen the new episode, please skip ahead about 2 minutes because I'm about to reveal something. If you have seen it, keep listening because you're probably as angry as I am. So they have not renewed the show for any more seasons, right?
Right.
This is it. Mm-hmm. Unless something different happens, this is it. Well, the show ends with the government and the cigarette-smoking man, which is the main antagonist of the entire series, putting forth this disease that's going to kill off most of the world. And at the very end, they're on a bridge. They're trying to give Mulder the antidote. And right before they can give him the antidote, a UFO appears above them, shines a beam down, Scully looks up, and the show ends. That's how the show ends. So if they never make any more X-Files episodes, that's how the X-Files ends.
Wait, I thought you said it was the second to last episode.
Well, that was the Muslim one.
Oh, so last night's episode was the season finale.
That was the series finale as of right now.
Ooh.
And that's how it ends. And I could not believe it. We watched it, and I waited for something.
Post-credit scene.
Nothing. The biggest cliffhanger I've ever seen. Like, such a blatant, please renew us for another season.
I was going to say, do you think that was their tactic to get renewed?
Well, it worked. Because I want to know what happens now.
So, something I read...
Our producer is giving me a finger here. Wait, that sounded bad.
Well, I'm not getting too far off topic, so you can feel free if you see something, interject. Apparently, one of the final seasons of Friends, the actors could not come to an understanding on how much they should be paid.
I think I remember that, yeah.
And so the network, NBC, Yeah. NBC started.
Must-see TV.
NBC started airing commercials advertising the new season of Friends by saying, find out, you know, take the time, say goodbye to the gang. What's going to happen on the final season of Friends? As a way for them to be like, okay, if you don't want to get more money, if you don't want to budge on what you're asking for,
that's it.
This will shut it down.
Yeah.
And they all compromised. But so
Harry Shearer on The Simpsons last season wasn't going to come back for the show and went, cause he wanted, I forget what it was. He wanted more opportunities outside of The Simpsons to do voice acting and stuff like that. But he said that they were so hardcore in pinning him up that he couldn't do them. So he was just going to quit. He was done. And he went public with that. And that worked.
Well,
because he came back and he got what he wanted.
Well, and I remember the whole, like, it wasn't just him though, was it? It was like two or three cast members.
But they all signed on eventually except him. He was the last holdout.
Okay.
He flat out quit. He said, I'm done.
Okay. Cause I remember it being one of those things where it's like, yeah, only three people don't want to sign, but those three people voice half of Springfield.
That's the bad thing about The Simpsons is one person voices 40 people.
Yeah.
If Harry Shearer would have left, that was Mr. Burns, Principal Skinner. Reverend Lovejoy, anybody with that kind of booming voice.
Yeah.
You know, that's terrible.
But yeah, so.
She's going to show me something afterward.
Okay.
Is it about the X-Files? I'm not getting confirmation. Yeah, yeah. It is. Okay, okay, good. All right. Hey, so we got 10 more minutes left on this. Real quick, let's preview tomorrow.
Before we do that, there was one other thing that you wanted to talk.
Before we preview this, we were going to talk about one more thing.
Were you cutting me off on that, or just like you actually remembered what you wanted to
talk? I don't remember what I wanted to talk about.
The space music, and I'm using air quotes real hard on that.
Yeah, because I posted that before I listened to it, and then I listened to it. Have you listened to it?
Yeah.
It sounds like whirring is a word I would use for it, but it did not sound like music in any way.
And also, I
think
like,
it's been debunked too, hasn't it?
Yeah, the article that you posted, I think, or you didn't know, because
the first thing I
Googled, it was a CNN thing, and they're like, this is what you hear, here's, you can actually like listen to it for yourself. And then literally the next paragraph is, but two people at NASA, including one of the astronauts, was like, that's just radio interference.
But some of the other astronauts did not agree. And normally I would love to argue this with you because I love UFOs and stuff like that.
Right.
But I listened to it. I didn't hear music. I heard what sounded like interference.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of magic space shrooms they were smoking.
If the person who was actually on the dark side of the moon, like when it happened, was like, oh yeah, no, I knew at the time I was like, oh, if I wasn't expecting it, I'd probably have been scared. But since that's, it was radio interference, that's okay. Now,
what I don't understand is why nobody talks about the bigger story about when they went to the moon and on the dark side of the moon. There was, I forget how long it was, but they turned off all communication. It went silent for so many minutes while the astronauts went to the dark side of the moon and made contact with the Decepticons. And they found this transformer there. They made a movie about it, a documentary a couple years ago.
Documentary.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg was there.
No, that was still Shia LaBeouf. He's not famous anymore. That's what I hear.
And that's why he gets away with live streaming himself 24 hours on an elevator.
I had this, again, you're going to hear me say a lot on this show. I had this argument with Allie. We were talking about Shia LaBeouf, and if she finds his quote-unquote performance art entertaining or just obnoxious. And I think she's somewhere in the middle. Uh-oh. Well, she stole the mic.
Sorry, Asa, I took your mic. I find it obnoxious considering most of it he's stolen.
He plagiarized.
He has taken a lot of actual artists' things, like the I'm Not Famous Anymore led into a performance art where he let people do whatever they wanted to him for like 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Which has been done before.
You have to pay extra for that in Japan.
So... Is it performance art? Yes, but he has stolen most of it, and most of it is just obnoxious.
Okay, so confirmed. Allie Hebert confirms it's obnoxious. Sorry, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf is obnoxious.
You just got punked. You just got Hebert. That's a term now. Like getting manched.
Daltoned.
Yeah, when you get Daltoned, when you tell a joke so many times it's not funny anymore.
And then it starts being funny again.
Yeah.
I disagree with that last part of it.
Which one?
It starts being funny again.
You don't think it's funny? Anyway, moving on.
So what do you want to preview for? Oh.
Before we do that, I don't want to make it sound like I don't believe that anything weird does happen in space.
Oh, no. Because
clearly it does.
Space is fucking insane. We just discovered the gravity waves.
Well, I was going to talk about something more UFO related, but no, the real science is fun too. But go, there are videos. What? Look up NASA UFO. There are so many videos out there from NASA that are unexplainable. There's one, I think I've mentioned on the show before. You see what looks like a UFO. It's a little dot and it's above Earth and it's moving. You see a flash of light from Earth and then a beam shoot toward it as it flies away. And this is official. This is not doctored. This is nothing. Like, I understand people that, I don't understand how you would come up with a different theory other than that's a UFO and that is us shooting at the UFO.
Because that's what our first reaction would be.
What else could it be?
Some sort of intelligent life form
got too close.
Comes to see us and we're just going to shoot at it first.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
A shooting at a random UFO?
It's shooting at a random thing that clearly is better suited for space travel than we are.
Well, they made a documentary about that, too. It was called Independence Day.
And now they're doing a follow-up.
There's a follow-up documentary to it. All right. Five more minutes. Let's preview tomorrow's pro wrestling.
Five?
Every time.
Five?
Do you like that picture I tweeted to you?
Yes, I did.
Sasha Banks, New Day, and Tyler Breeze suiting up for basketball. And my heart skipped. I was like, I would love so much if they all just teamed up. Because Tyler Breeze.
That's the Space Jam sequel I want.
Yes. We don't need Bugs Bunny.
No.
Just them. Bugs Bunny's not nearly as entertaining as Big E.
I think I'm going to tweet that again. I already retweeted that picture, but that's what I'm going to be like. It's the new Space Jam sequel.
I like Tyler Breeze on wrestling, but after seeing him on Up, Up, Down, Down, I like him so much more. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Unrelated. So tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, we're going to talk about Fastlane. We're going to review it. Just a little bit. We're not going to get too much into it. We're not going to go back match by match, but we're going to give our thoughts. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw because something huge happened. We'll touch on it just a little bit here. Shane McMahon returned. We have a chat on Facebook. It's called PZ85 Ramblings that Cody started, I believe. And someone started posting on there, I can't believe he's back, stuff like that. And I'm like, who is it? Because I just read earlier in the day that John Cena retweeted a picture of Paul Newman from, I forget which movie it is, it's a hockey movie, and that's the same picture that CM Punk uses for Twitter. So there was speculation that Punk was maybe going to work with WWE. And then I saw the message, he's back, and I thought, no.
Yeah, no.
No, Shane McMahon.
Would have been cooler.
Shane McMahon comes out, he's going to fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Hell in a Cell.
For control of Raw and...
For control of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
That's, I feel like, probably a very carefully chosen sentence.
Yes, because there's rumors that the brand extension is coming back. Now, we're not going to talk about it too much because Asa feels like I do, and we're going to save our venom for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. If you want to hear it, you're going to have to tune in. We are going to talk about that, though. We're also going to talk about Stephanie McMahon, Nakamura. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about tomorrow. So that's going to be a good show. And then we'll do something on Thursday, probably.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
I won't. I have no interest in it. All right, we got 3 more minutes. You got anything else?
Not really.
Me neither. I'm drained now after talking about the X-Files.
Just the emotional.
I'm so sad because it was 6 episodes long. Mm-hmm. That's not nearly enough time for me to love the X-Files. I'm being told to check my Facebook. I got tagged in a post. Chris Carter says we will come back for the X-Files. And it does not surprise me because the ratings have been huge for it. But right now, there is nothing set in stone.
Well, and also one of the things is, too, with that is just because maybe for whatever reason Fox doesn't want to renew it for another season, that doesn't necessarily mean that you won't see it happen on Amazon Prime or Netflix or Hulu. Because a lot of these older shows that people loved and cared for are finding new life on these streaming services.
Yeah.
Like, I know the big rumor that I'm sure they're going to talk about on Nerd Up, unless they talked about it this past Sunday already.
I was there. What was it?
I didn't have a chance to listen to it yet. The Young Justice?
No.
We
spent a considerable amount of time talking about YouTube's newest fiasco.
Okay.
And Street Fighter V and a couple other things. But no, they didn't touch on that.
Young Justice got, the second season is finally on Netflix right now. And like a press release or something said that,
Broadway.
Season 3 could happen if Netflix sees that there's enough of a demand for it. And Young Justice, the first season is one of the best superhero shows of all time.
I've not watched it.
So good.
Real quick, we're going to end off with this. Lindsay sent me a article on pinknews.com. I don't know if I should trust Pink News.
Is it a...
Well, apparently a guy crashed a Donald Trump rally, and when he went in and they stripped his clothes off to reveal a Sailor Moon outfit. So here's this bearded black man dressed in the Sailor Fuku and the little bow in the back, and then he starts chanting USA. He was then escorted out. Huh. Well.
All right, then.
God bless the people that protest monsters like Donald Trump. And if we could ever use Sailor Moon, it would be now to destroy the evil villain that is Donald Trump, Satan himself. We got to do a politics episode one day.
I'm going to pass on that one.
No, you got to be there.
No, I don't.
Because I want to bash Obama and Donald Trump.
You have fun.
You'll be there?
No.
All right. We'll have Asa on for that one. And until then, we're going to cut this one out and go home and get some sleep because I'm still not feeling well. Haven't lost my voice yet, but I can feel it coming. Asa, thanks for being here again tonight.
Of course.
And thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted talking about all the things that I just said a few minutes ago. Have a good night. Asa, take us out.
No, please.
He's good?
He's good.